Do we have a quorum? Is that what? Huh? The Senate will please come to order. Clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson? Bates? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Boquist? Burdick? Burdick? Devlin? Devlin? Dingfelder? Dingfelder? Edwards? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Haas? Haas? Johnson? Johnson? Cruz? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Przanski? Przanski? Rosenbaum? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? President Courtney?
A quorum being present, we will now post the colors. The colors will be posted by the Marion County Sheriff's Office Honor Guard today. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For our invocation, please let us observe a moment of silence to honor all the law enforcement officers in this state and throughout this nation who have given their lives in the line of duty. On behalf of the I'm still waiting to have the honor guard. On behalf of the Senate, I'd like to thank the Marin County Sheriff's Honor Guard for posting the colors today. The members are the Sergeant William Sherburn, Senior Deputy Sean Bush, Senior Deputy Jeff Nikoloff, Deputy Alicia O'Neill. Thank you, Marin County Sheriff's Honor Guard. We're now under the courtesies of the Senate. I want to acknowledge and welcome the distinguished guests that are here today as we honor Deputy Fredenberg in HCR 203 on the Senate floor. Please welcome his family, the father, Gary Fredenberg, brother, Kevin Fredenberg, daughters, Miranda Fredenberg, as well as other family members who may be in the audience. So to all the family and to the friends and relatives that are here to honor Deputy Fredenberg, we welcome you to the Oregon State Senate chambers. We're honored and we're humbled by your presence as we are about to pay the highest honor that the Oregon State Senate can pay to an Oregonian. Also at this time, I would like to acknowledge the numerous law enforcement officers in attendance as well. We have Sheriff Jason Myers, Marin County, Sheriff Robert Wolf of Polk County. We have Sheriff Don Staten of Staten. We have Sheriff Tom Berdrin of Clackamas County, Sheriff Rick Iseland of Wasco County, and Sheriff Pat Garrett of Washington County. So we really are joined by a great number of law enforcement officials and our county sheriffs throughout the great state of Oregon, which is that's a really significant honor. We really honor and privilege you could be here with us today as we attempt to pay the respects to Deputy Fredenberg. So that is very special to each and every one of you, and we appreciate your being here. We welcome each and every one of you, and I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to each and every one of you. Thank you. Any other courtesies? I recognize Senator Chuck Thompson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask that you please extend courtesies to Mr. Joseph Lowe. Joseph is a constituent of mine from the city of Sandy. He is the chair of Oregon's Home Care Commission and a member of the Disability Services Advisory Council, Community Action Board, and the Area Agency on Aging Advising Council for Clackamas County. I met Joseph last year and invited him to come down and spend a day at the Capitol with us, and I'm very proud to have him at my desk. Thank you for extending courtesies, Mr. President.
Yes. Joseph, I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. We welcome you. It's an honor and privilege to have you here. I need to correct myself. My staff, the Secretary of the Senate's office, to make sure I pronounce names right, will have the pronunciation. When I introduced Sheriff Don Staten, I said Staten. Well, he's the Multnomah County Sheriff, so I implied that he was the from Staten. I made a mistake. So please, we want to make sure that the county sheriff of Multnomah County, our largest county, is recognized appropriately and properly. So thank you, and please forgive me for that imperfect way of introducing a county sheriff. Are there any other courtesies? Recognize Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would respectfully ask that you extend courtesies to my intern for today. His name is Justin Russell. He is on an internship at DSL. He's a graduate student at Oregon State and is visiting the legislature today as he is considering pursuing a career in public service.
Thank you. Justin, welcome. Welcome to our chambers. It's an honor and privilege to have you here. I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. Thank you. Are there other courtesies? Seeing none, under remonstrances. Reports from committees in accordance with SR 8.551 committee summary. Report summary number 32 was distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of the State's report of so order. Without objection, I revert to messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm Dr. Bradley, co-speakers informing me the House has passed House Bill 4027, 4079, House Concurrent Resolution 205, passed Senate Bill 1575, 1504, 1507, 1510, 1531. Mr. President, I'm Dr. Bradley, co-speakers informing me that they have signed House Bill 4008, 4009, 4024, 4034, 4068, 4117, House Joint Memorial 201 and 202, Senate Bill 1535.
We will now go to reports from committees, and of course, SR 8.55 committee summary, report number 32 was distributed to members today, and this information will be called in the Journal of Studies. Report, as I've indicated, this is now I'm on a proposition motion. Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that final consideration of House Concurrent Resolution 203 be made a special order of business immediately.
Senator Dianne Rosenbaum has moved that the final consideration of HCR 203 be made a special order of business immediately. Would you please explain your motion?
Colleagues, this resolution honors one of our fallen officers. Many colleagues and friends and family have come to hear this today, so this will allow us to take it up immediately.
So discussion of this motion that's before us. Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close? Question is, I'm taking and making HCR 203 a special order of business immediately. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. This motion has carried. We will proceed to the special order of business. The clerk will please read this resolution.
House Concurrent Resolution 203, recognizing and honoring Deputy Kelly James Friedenberg for his service to state.
Now I'll recognize Senator Jackie Winters, who will carry the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I am reminded every day of how fortunate I am that other men and women have pledged their lives to watching out for you and me, and for the many other men and women who enter this building day in and day out, so that we are protected from harm and evil. As I drive to and from this building, I assume personal responsibility for the way I maneuver my vehicle and myself through traffic. And I know and depend on those men and women who have pledged their lives to watching out for me and for others as we travel on our highways, and we are grateful. Today, I want to remember a man who took a pledge to watch out for me and for others, and as he set about his duties on a fateful day nearly 5 years ago, could not have known that another person would take his life. He is no longer there to protect us, and on that day, we were unable to protect him. He became the first Marion County deputy to die in the line of duty. He gave his life while rushing to assist a fellow officer, leaving a wife who knew too well the risk of a job that she had also performed, and two beautiful daughters who now know too well the price their father paid as he did his job. Deputy Kelly Friedenberg is highly deserving of our respect and should be among those who remain in our memory because he cared about our lives and our safety. We know that his family holds him dearly in their hearts. We know that the officers who are here today to pay their respect hold him dear. Please join me in recognition and honor of Deputy Friedenberg for his ultimate gift of service to his state and to us by passing HCR 203.
A discussion of the resolution that is before us. Senator Winters, do you wish to close?
No, Mr. President.
The question now arises upon the third reading and the final passage of H.C.R. 203. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as the names are called, and those opposed, no. Would the clerk please call the roll?
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morse. Nelson. Olson. Prezansky. Rosenbaum. Shields. Starr. Steiner Hayward. Telfer. Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder. Edwards. Ferrioli. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Boquist. Excused. Boquist. 29 aye votes.
H.C.R. 203, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. To the family, the loved ones, the friends, and fellow officers of Deputy Kelly Frindenberg, this Oregon State Senate on this day has just paid its highest tribute to a fellow Oregonian. We are humbled to do so. We hope in some small way this brings you some solace and some understanding of how deeply we feel about the men and women who are in law enforcement and put their lives on the line every single day. We're sorry about the loss of Deputy Kelly Frindenberg, and we know that in some ways, no matter what we do here, we cannot bring him back to you. But we're also very proud and honored to have him among us. When he was here, this is a good day for the Senate, and we hope in some small way is a good day for you. Thank you. Actions on executive appointments that require the Senate's confirmation. Introduction and first reading of the Senate measures. The second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 210 in memoriam of Jeanette Hamby, 1933-2012.
Oh, okay, at least past the calendar. Recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Request return to the order of remonstrance, please.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this building is full of rhetoric about the plight of Oregon's unemployed, and it should be. There is no issue more pressing than the tens of thousands of Oregonians who simply can't find a job because there isn't any. But if you think the unemployment problem is bad for the state as a whole, Mr. President, you should look at rural Oregon. For example, the unemployment rate in Cook County stands at 15.3%. The rate of U6 underemployment in Cook County is approaching 30%. Mr. President, there is a glaring discrepancy that challenges the definition of fairness and equity. Since Senate Bill 1592 is a small way that can bridge this divide between rural and urban Oregon, ending the sense of inequity and spurring job creation and economic opportunity, unemployed Oregonians in both rural and urban Oregon would benefit from this bill. This is a bill that has been ignored in committee from the beginning of this session, Mr. President. And Mr. President, it deserves to see the light of day. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Further remonstrances? Without objection, we will now recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under the order of business of remonstrances, colleagues on your desks, you should see a flyer that talks about the question of fairness between rural and urban. I'd urge you to look at that. There's an ongoing issue of inequity that exists between rural and urban Oregon. For instance, per capita earnings in rural Oregon are about $12,000 per year less than in urban Oregon. The unemployment rate is consistently higher in rural Oregon. While 31.9% graduate college in urban Oregon, only about 17.7% of the population graduates from higher education in rural Oregon. Oregon prides itself on very difficult, high standards for environmental issues. Rural Oregon bears the brunt of those issues. Urban Oregon reaps the benefits. The costs and the problems pile up in rural Oregon that has fewer opportunities to deal with those issues. The gap is growing. It's plainly unfair. In these times of economic difficulty, the gap is widening. That is why we have asked for your consideration of Senate Bill 1592 that follows a Washington state model that would allow rural counties that have experienced a significant decrease in population and economic decline to get some relief from burdensome land use rules that prevent economic development and recruitment of job-creating opportunities to rural Oregon. That bill languishes in a committee. It's not been heard. Mr. President, it's time that we looked at the Washington model as a roadmap for an Oregon success and look past the partisan politics and bring Senate Bill 52 out of committee and pass it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Are there further remonstrances before? Without objection, I will now return to the order of propositions and motions, and I'll recognize Senator Chuck Thompson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 1592 be withdrawn from the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee.
Senator Chuck Thompson has moved that the Senate Bill 1592 be withdrawn from the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee. To your motion, please.
To the motion, sir. As we all know what this bill does, Senate Bill 1592 would give Oregon counties explicit control over Oregon land use zoning laws if a county with less than 50,000 people have not seen an increase in population over the last 10 years. This is the only chance we're going to get to debate and vote on this idea. I urge you to vote yes on this motion. Thank you.
Discussion of the motion, which is now before us. Senator Thompson, do you wish to close on your motion?
Yeah, no.
You do wish to close?
No.
You have nothing further to say?
That's all I have to say about
that. Okay, thank you. Just wanted to be okay. Those of the opinion that Senate Bill 1592 should be withdrawn from the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee will answer aye as your name is called, and those opposed no. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Girard? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Bonus Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? President Courtney?
No.
Voting no, Bates, Beyer, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Hass, Johnson, Monroe, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Steiner Hayward, Berger, President Courtney, 14 aye votes.
The motion has failed. We're under third reading. We'll now go to the third reading. What? Oh, Thank you. Recognize Senator Olson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Vote explanation, please.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. I voted yes on this motion because this was another opportunity to do what voters are expecting us to do, address the unemployment problem. Unfortunately, this has turned into yet another missed opportunity. How many times is this Senate going to turn its back on these bills? This is the type of legislation that would create an environment where businesses can grow and thrive, providing families with the opportunity to prosper. It's frustrating for me particularly, and I can only imagine it is even more frustrating for the tens of thousands of Oregonians who can't find work right now. Despite the majority's continued opposition, I pledge to continue pushing for this type of legislation that puts Oregon back on track to prosperity. Colleagues, I'm in an industry where there's 60% of our group, construction, is unemployed. It's time we got to work. and created some jobs for these folks. Let their businesses grow, prosper. Let them raise their families the way they want to instead of scampering around looking for small jobs anywhere. It's time we got to business. We haven't done it. We're going to let another 10 months go by before we do it again. That's appalling.
Would you recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Vote explanation.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, let me put a real face on this, the reason why I supported this measure. In our timber payments task force today, we heard from commissioners in Curry County, and basically they have sent a letter to the governor that says that at the first of the next fiscal year, shared services may revert back to the state because they're broke. But the point is that there have been economic development opportunities in Curry County that could have created hundreds of new jobs, and our antiquated top-down land use system has prevented those activities from happening. This bill would have given them the opportunity to become self-sufficient again, and we are dropping the ball.
Are there further vote explanations? Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Mr. President, I'd like to request unanimous assent to go back to, or you want me to wait? Is there a vote explanation?
Okay, sure. Go ahead and please make your request.
Request for unanimous assent to go back to 203 to place a vote.
Senator Brian Boquist has unanimous consent that he be allowed to vote on, I think it was HCR 203. It will not affect the outcome. Is there any objection to allowing Senator Brian Boquist to vote? I see no objections. Senator, how do you vote?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
Let the record show that Senator Brian Boquist has just voted yes for HCR 203. I think my yeah. We'll now go to the first reading of House measures.
House Concurrent Resolution 205 in memoriam Representative Alan B. Penn, 1936-2011, House Bill 4727 relating to limitations of liability persons providing services without compensation, declaring emergency, House Bill 4079 relating to energy incentive programs and prescribing effective date.
These will be transmitted to the President's desk for referral. We'll now do the second reading of House measures.
House Bill 4011 relating to proof of treatment for substance abuse and declare emergency. House Bill 4035 relating to secure transaction and personal property and declare emergency. House Bill 4043 relating to documents issued by Department of Transportation and declare emergency. House Bill 4047 relating to alcoholic beverage sales exempted for licensing requirements, declare emergency. House Bill 4050 relating to ocean control salmon fishery and declare emergency. House Bill 4092 relating to distillery special events, declare emergency. House Bill 4146 relating to expungement and declare emergency.
These will be passed to the calendar. We are now under the third reading of House measures. Would the clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 4013, relating to accelerated college credit programs, prescribing effective date.
Recognize Senator Lee Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 4013 is a fairly simple little bill that helps, has the potential to help Oregonian students reduce their cost of attending college. As you know, there are a number of advanced placement programs that are available to young people while they're still in high school. This body passed a program to help young people take advantage of those. What this bill does is simply requires the superintendent of public instruction to create a spot on the department's website that becomes a single place for people, teachers, and students to get information about these opportunities. I urge your adoption.
Further discussion of the measure? Senator Beyer, do you wish to close? The question now arises upon the third reading and the final passage of House Bill 4013. Those who depend the bill should pass or answer. Aye, the names called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Olson. Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner-Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Atkinson, 29 aye votes.
The House Bill 4013, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads the bill, please.
House Bill 4015, relating to lead.
Recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Haywood, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, when in the course of human events, or Senate events in this case, it becomes necessary for one freshman senator to carry her first bill, and to assume among the powers of a senator the separate and equal station to which the laws of the legislature entitle her, a decent respect for the opinions of her colleagues requires that she should do so in a manner befitting the traditions of this august body. Therefore, colleagues, I rise today to urge your aye vote for House Bill 4015, a simple bill designed to protect children and empower those who care deeply for protecting them by providing them with information about lead toxicity. This session, colleagues, we've seen 87-page bills. We've seen bills with amendment after amendment after amendment. This is House Bill 4015, less than one page, providing very important information. Many of our schools today contain older parts of the building that may have lead-based paint. And we all know that lead toxicity is incredibly risky for our youngest, most vulnerable Oregonians. This bill is not complicated. And in fact, what it does is simplify gaining information that our parents want. I looked around on the web for the information that this bill would ask that OHA provide, and I found it on 14 separate websites. As a parent, I'd like to be able to look at one site for authoritative information so that I could be sure my child would not be a victim of lead toxicity in a place that we assume safe, their schools. This is not complicated. It does not have a fiscal. This is a very straightforward piece of legislation that will allow us to protect the youngest Oregonians. Furthermore, given some of the gunplay that's likely to happen in this building over the next few weeks, it may even protect us. Thank you, colleagues, and I urge your aye vote on House Bill 4015.
Recognize Senator Fred Girard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question of the carrier.
Would the carrier yield to a question?
Certainly.
Question will. Very well.
Thank you. There's a new study out from OHSU dealing with the concentration of lead in the dairy of rats. I was just kind of curious if you've read that study and what your feelings are about that study.
Thank you to my colleague for bringing up that important point. The colleague from the CNTM Canyon raises the issue of ongoing research that's done on lead toxicity in multiple mammalian species. The issues of whether the relevance of this study to our children, however, remain somewhat unclear to me and require further research on my part. I'll get back to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill.
To the bill, please.
Colleagues, I'm going to be a no on this vote, and the reason for that is there's a lot of fitness gurus now that are promising buns of lead, and I think it's extremely important that we get to the bottom of this, and no bun intended.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Ms. President. Question of the carrier.
Will the carrier yield to a question, please?
Most certainly.
She will.
Ms. President, I'm just curious as to whether this gives another definition to the term get the lead out.
My distinguished colleagues from Southwestern Oregon brings up a very important point, and the answer is yes, it will.
Okay. To the bill.
To the bill, please.
I don't see a new definition in the bill. That's troubling. Ms. President, I'm going to have a hard time voting for this as a matter of procedure. The carrier of the bill used a visual aid in her presentation without requesting permission of the body to do so.
Recognize Senator Rob Monroe, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will the carrier yield, please?
Will the carrier yield, please?
Most certainly.
The carrier will yield.
Does this bill have anything to do with lipstick?
I'd be grateful to my colleague from Mid-Multnomah County if he would clarify the intent of his question a little further.
Well, my understanding is that some famous brands of lipstick include lead.
Uh, My distinguished colleague from District 21 would like to know how you know that.
I'm asking the questions here. You must answer it. There have been recent studies that have been published on television in the news indicating that there is lead in lipstick.
I'm grateful to my colleague from Mid-Multnomah County for bringing that to the attention of this body. That being said, one of the many advantages of House Bill 4015 is that it contains little or no ambiguity, and it focuses entirely on schools. So unless we're planning on including lipstick as a school supply on the list, I think we're safe.
Additional question?
Would you yield another question?
To my colleague from Mid-Multnomah? Absolutely.
The Courier will yield to a question.
Are you indicating that students that attend our schools don't use lipstick?
Sir, I'm the parent of 5 teenage daughters. The chances of my thinking that are slim to none. But no, it is not within the purview of the state to determine which of those. Actually, House Bill 4153, on which I also testified, did refer specifically to a desire to have OHA list the toxic chemicals and contaminants found in cosmetics. However, that bill did not quite make it out of committee, so we don't have an opportunity to address that directly.
Thank you. To the bill.
To the bill, please.
You know, this bill really troubles me. All these studies that we've seen nationwide about lead in lipstick and no mention of it in this bill and not even lipstick on pigs. I'm going to have a hard time voting for it.
Recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please.
Question of the Courier.
Would the Courier yield to a question, please?
Absolutely.
The Courier will yield to a question.
Thank you. Will this bill make it illegal for minors to consume lead pencils or nails?
Jesus.
I am very grateful to my colleague from sunny Central Oregon for bringing that question to our attention. Absolutely.
Oh, well, thank you.
I recognize Senator Chuck Thompson, please.
Question of the Courier, please.
Would Senator Chuck Thompson yield to a question, please?
One moment, please. I just want to clarify my answer to my colleague from sunny Central Oregon.
Senator, would you please respond yes to the fact that you will respond?
Oh, yes, certainly.
So please,
May I apologize. Were lead pencils to still be legal, then it would make it unacceptable for children to consume them. But fortunately, it becomes less of an issue in that regard. Senator Thompson.
Yes, I saw something last night. It was a good thing this bill's here on the floor.
You now speaking to the bill, or you're asking another question?
Well, I asked once, and then she went to Senator Telfer and skipped right
in. No,
Senator, I have to ask again?
Senator, speak. I think
yes, I have a question for.
We have another question. Would you carry you, please?
Didn't just ask one first.
To my colleague from District 26, without objection.
Please ask your question.
Answer it or ask it.
You're going to do, Senator.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I was very disturbed last night. And like I said, it was a good thing this bill's on the floor today, so I have a very good question for you. I saw a YouTube video last night, and it showed hundreds of kids walking around neighborhoods gnawing on the side of homes. And this is, not only is this issue of defacing public property, it's a thing that started on the East Coast and it's moving west. And nobody's done anything to stop this. And I wondered if this bill would get the information on the web and tell these kids what a dangerous thing this is. They could actually get lead poisoning by gnawing on the side of homes. Will this bill take care of that?
I am very grateful to my colleague from District 26 for bringing up this disturbing trend. And it is an epidemic in parts of the country that we must do everything within our power to prevent in the beautiful Oregon. I have absolute confidence that this bill will educate parents in a way that will help them explain clearly and without contradiction to their children the incredible risks posed by this dangerous behavior and will help stem the risk of this epidemic in our beautiful state.
To the bill.
To the bill, please.
I, unlike most of my colleagues here, will probably vote yes, because that was such a great answer, but I reserve the right to vote no. Thank you.
I recognize Senator Ellen Bates, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two questions to the carrier, quickly.
Would the carrier yield to a question?
To Doc Bates, always.
Thank you. In Southern Oregon, we've had an issue recently that's really troubling to our students concerning lead in a wolf. We have a wolf wandering in our area for the first time in 100 years, and there is concern about that wolf suffering from potentially lead poisoning applied by a rifle or a pistol. Would this bill have anything to do with our lone wolf that's wandering in and out of our area back and forth and from here to California?
Doc Bates, it would be my great hope that it would, especially if we were able to encourage that wolf to enroll in our public education system here in Oregon.
For some of our school districts, that might be a step in the right direction. Second question, if I could.
Could the carrier yield to a question?
Without a doubt.
The carrier will yield to a question.
This bill actually has a very strange word in it about giving out tips how to comply with state laws and regulations. I've never seen that in a bill before. And I'm not sure that we should be putting that in legislation, that we start giving out tips to people about how to do what they should be doing to comply. Would you give us an idea of what kind of tips we might be giving out to different agencies and schools and kids how to comply with these types of laws?
Well, there are two different answers to that question. The first is, for good service, 15% to 20% at least. The second is, on a more pragmatic level, understanding exactly what they can do when they see evidence of lead risks in our schools and easy procedures for the maintenance staff to follow to help mitigate those risks, on a somewhat more serious note. But I couldn't quite parse that question.
Thank you. Mr. President, to the bill. This bill has been carried by a freshman. She's done the best she could, but frankly, she hasn't convinced me the need for the bill. I'll have to be a no on the floor.
Richard Devlin, please.
Question to the carrier.
Without question.
I am having difficulty with this bill reconciling the fact that it says it has a minimal fiscal impact, but it says it has to actually change a website. And various executive branch agencies constantly tell me that they need resources, dollars, to keep their websites up to date. How do I reconcile the fact that it has a minimal fiscal impact?
The co-chair of Ways and Means brings up a critically important point for which I am grateful.
Question, Mr. President?
Senator Early, for what point, what procedural question do you wish to raise?
Well, Mr. President, according to the rules of the Senate, all questions are to be directed to the presiding officer, and the previous questioner directed his question directly to the carrier of the bill. So, Mr. President, in order to comport with our rules, the questioner must restate the question to the presiding officer and not to the carrier of the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
So, Senator Devlin, a veteran state senator who's been here a long while, you need to speak to the Senate, the presiding officer, and direct your questions to the presiding officer as opposed to the respective senator who's carrying the bill. So please repeat your question accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Presiding Officer. Mr. President, sorry for that error. I rarely speak on the floor, so I'll have to get back accustomed.
Yeah.
Mr. President, the question was, the bill before us has a minimal or no fiscal impact. How do I reconcile that with the fact that many executive branch agencies tell me they need the resources they have or additional resources to update their websites?
To begin again, the information that this bill hopes to make available to parents who wish to protect their children is fortunately already available across the web, but not in a consolidated fashion. And if I, a physician and state senator, have difficulty finding it, one would imagine that it might be even more challenging for some parents with less awareness of places to look. So the good news is this is a question of providing links rather than new information, and it can be consolidated from sites that OHA already maintains. And I also trust my colleagues in LFO.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, to the good presenter, she needs to learn a basic truth in terms of agencies' reactions. If it's something they want to do, it has no fiscal impact. If it's something they don't want to do, it has a significant fiscal impact.
Recognize Senator Olson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question the carrier.
Will the carrier yield to a question?
Certainly.
The carrier will.
Mr. President, I don't want this body to be led astray, so I'll ask the question concerning the clearinghouse. Does this clearinghouse offer a sweepstakes, and are there prizes to be won?
This is a really critical point, and I'm surprised that nobody's brought it up prior to you doing so, sir. Absolutely. We have every intention for this bill and this clearinghouse to provide prizes. Prizes such as healthy, well-educated children. Prizes such as children who are not forced to undergo multiple medical procedures. And those prizes, sir, are priceless. And I'm grateful to you for bringing them to our attention.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill.
To the bill, please.
I'm going to have to be a no on this bill. I have a tendency to chew on my desk, this bill would probably put me in violation of some rule. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there further discussion of the measure before us? Senator Hayward, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I am, again, in your debt for bringing up so many important issues about this bill. I hope that despite some concerns raised by some of you about your ability to vote yes for this critically important piece of legislation that one of our colleagues from the House has put forward, that you will see your way clear to protecting our children, protecting our environment, and voting aye on this bill. Thank you.
The question now arises upon the third reading and the final passage of House Bill 4015. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morris. Nelson. Olson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward. Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, President Courtney?
No.
Excused, Winter, voting no, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, President Courtney.
Telfer's a yes.
I believe we've... What? I would like... I was going to ask if everyone's vote has been correctly recorded on the board, because it's all green. It's all green.
Excused, Winters, 29 aye votes.
The House Bill, 4015, have received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator... Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, welcome to the Oregon State Senate. I feel I should have been quicker because there were people in the gallery. I want everybody to understand this was a very serious bill, and as you could tell by the final vote. And what was happening is the Oregon State Senate has a special way to welcome a freshman legislator who is carrying their first particular bill. It's endearing, it's warm, it's humorous, but we do take the bill seriously, and the final vote was taken very seriously, and of course the good Senator Hayward herself presented the bill in a very, very serious way. So I just wanted to speak to that, to those who may be in the gallery, those who were in the gallery, and those who are watching. This is a bit of an orientation session, but it is a serious session. So thank you for allowing me to enter that statement on the record. I will ask the clerk to read the bill.
House Bill 4128, Relating to Treatment for Craniofacial Anomalies.
I now recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, the carrier, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is indeed a privilege to bring before you House Bill 4128, which is, in essence, a technical correction, technical fix to state law. Unfortunately, a remarkably high number of children are born every year in this state with what are called, in my neck of the woods, craniomaxillofacial defects. For those of you who didn't have to spend 2 years in medical school learning 50,000 new words, that means things like cleft lip, cleft palate, and other disorders that prevent proper growth of the structures of the head and neck. Unfortunately, many of these children do not get complete treatment at the moment. They get excellent surgical repair, and yet many of them also need services of orthodonture to help repair and realign from a medically necessary perspective the structures within their on their mouth and jaw. And up till now, these services have been classified as dental services and therefore have not been covered under many commercial insurance plans. I'm pleased to say that the Oregon Health Plan has covered this service for children served by OHP. Fortunately, all the medical insurers in this state are in agreement that this service, when medically necessary to allow children born with these defects to have functional jaws and functional teeth, agree that this service should be covered. And therefore, colleagues, we bring to you House Bill 4128, which would make orthodonture that's medically necessary for the ongoing treatment of children with congenital defects such as cleft lip and cleft palate covered under medical insurance. Thank you.
Further discussion of the measure that's now before us. Senator Hayward, do you wish to close? She does not. The question arises upon the third reading and the final passage of House Bill 4128. Those the opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morse. Nelson. Olson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Shields. Starr. Steiner Hayward. Telfer. Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Winters, 29 aye votes.
Those who are of the opinion, House Bill 4128 have received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Other business of the Senate, according to SR 8.403, committee referral list number 23 and 24 were distributed to members on February 21st. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and the status report, and it is so ordered. Under announcements, recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you. Senate Democrats, please get your lunch and come to the caucus room right away. We have an honored visitor as well as a full agenda.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Yes, Mr. President, Republicans do have a caucus today, so please, Republicans, get your lunches and come to the caucus room. Thank you.
Are there other announcements for the Senate at this time? If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. tomorrow, which is Thursday, February 23rd. The Senate is now adjourned.